Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 24th on the West Coast, now September the 25th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. Yeah, time is moving backwards, isn't it? We'd also like to welcome those who may be listening live or on an archive on Wind Talkers Radio Network, as well as blogtalkradio.com. And before I bring on tonight's guest, many of you know who that is, if you've looked at the schedule or listened to any other radio shows. Before I bring him on, I want to read something that I found written by a gentleman named, this is a great name too, a pen name, Less Visible. It's called Any Day Now, as the song goes. And he begins by saying, Dog Poet Transmitting. The perfect storm approaches as reptile leaders Netanyahu, Barack, and Perez plan out the critical false flag event that they will need to force America into attacking Iran for them, just as they did with Afghanistan and Iraq. Iran has no nuclear weapons program, Israel does, and Israel lets no weapons inspectors into their facilities. They are not a signatory to the nuclear arms pact, while everyone else in the world seems to be. Meanwhile, Israel practices daily genocide upon the indigenous residents of the land which they have forced into ghettos that are ringed by murderous settlers who use them for target practice. The boogeyman is appearing everywhere all of a sudden. The dead bin Laden is making speeches, moonwalking like Baron Samedi, or an Egyptian mummy, if you prefer that image. Ayman al-Zawahiri is broadcasting from an undisclosed location as an unidentified Mossad or CIA agent, and the non-existent al-Qaeda is marching over mountains and across the seas and even walking in the sky as they trot out their state-of-the-art communication system that has everyone in the non-existent organization in constant contact with all their non-existent associates. The FBI keeps getting caught running false flag operations and had the misfortune of lying to the New York City Police Commissioner, who swept into the setup and found, wait for it, nothing at all. Now the FBI is leaking all sorts of embarrassing information about New York City cops as a payback. The economy is in the toilet. The Federal Reserve says they are not going to let investigators look at their cooked books. Apparently, the Rothschilds, who own the Federal Reserve and J.P. Morgan, and maybe the whole world, who knows, aren't happy with the demands that they show the world how much they've been stealing and for how long. The last time there was pressure for transparency with the Fed, somebody shot the president. The stock market is a marvel to behold. There's no reason for it to be going up and so on and so forth. So we have to assume that Goldman Sachs and their kindred from the deep places in Mordor are artificially stroking the market until they can get to the point where they can unload all that useless paper on the public yet again. Mikhail Saakashvili is swaggering around like a belligerent drunk at 5'2" and 120 pounds, making noises like he's going to have a cage match with a 900-pound bear. Georgia is one big Zionist summer camp, so it's no surprise what's going on there. Over and over, the crack whore press repeats the lie that Ahmadinejad has threatened to wipe Israel off the map. Over and over, they get busted for lying, and they're still at it. We're hearing the usual lies about thousands of people being tortured and murdered in secret Iranian prisons. We're hearing about how the election was fraudulent, but it wasn't. We've heard that Ahmadinejad is more dangerous than Hitler and yada yada. There is only one predator nation that is responsible for all of the Mideast chaos, and that is Israel. They casually murder Palestinian women and children in front of the world. You are not allowed to believe your lying eyes. The Palestinians are squeezed into ever smaller areas while being denied medical treatment, food, well, anything they need, they are denied. They are harvesting the organs of these captive people as if they were livestock, and there was a demand for sweetbreads. It could be a culinary thing. It doesn't have to be transplants. You have to analyze what would be the most evil thing, and then you pretty much have it. Anyone who can drop a million cluster bombs on the people of Lebanon after peace had been agreed on is capable of anything. Bombing UN outposts? No problem. Driving large extended families out of their residences and machine gunning them down in the streets? All in a day's work. Strapping children to the hoods of their vehicles while they look for people with white flags to assault with white phosphorus and dime weapons? It's a piece of cake. This is the time of unveiling, so we are seeing it all. The psychopaths are exposing themselves by their behavior each and every day. The whole world is coming to see what's happening. An arrogant moron who was not legally elected once is replaced by a Mr. Slick who was going to put an end to the warmongering, and he expanded the operations. High-ranking members of the CIA went on record and said there was no Al-Qaeda. It was a creation of the neocons that acted as a straw man for a public with straw in their heads. Members of intelligence services around the world, in Italy, Japan, and other locations, have all said that 9/11 was an inside job. Moving right along, like I said, this is a time of unveiling. This is the apocalypse, and time is getting short for the longtime miscreants who have visited so much suffering and terror upon the people around the world. They've got 30 balls in the air as well as some chainsaws and flaming bowling pins, and they're coming down the street talking about swine flu. Al-Qaeda, Pakistani insurgents, Iranian nuclear weapons programs, and anything they can think of in a desperate attempt to get you to believe that they are not the responsible parties behind just about every bad thing going on anywhere at any time. It seems to me that you have to be honest to see the truth. If you are not honest, then your perspective is skewered by your dishonesty and denial. This is why they can't tell the truth and why a certain portion of the public can't believe the truth. Every day, the magnitude of the lies and the dreadful behavior of the few are being seen more widely and more deeply into. Given all of the things I've pointed out here, it seems pretty certain that any day now, they are going to launch a series of violent actions that can be blamed on the people they want to destroy because that is what they do. They kill and maim. They bankrupt and release diseases and toxins. They're made differently than you or I. They aren't human. They wear the mask, but a beast is behind the mask. It's an ancient thing that has moved through the human herd for centuries and centuries. It's coming out now, and they don't know what to make of it. They managed well over the years as they set traps and practiced treachery, accusing whomever they pleased of the actions they committed themselves. Things aren't going according to plan, though. Wherever you are is wherever you are. I don't know what to tell you about that. I'd stay out of the cities, though. These people are serious and completely devoid of conscience. Look at what they have done in previous decades. When you can print the money, you can call the tune. When you can print the money, you can decide who gets the money. Since no one can see what you are doing, you can do anything you want. It's a nice setup. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but it's coming to a head. I can't lose the feeling that they are going to shoot themselves in the foot. The cat's been out of the bag for a while now. The awareness of the sleeping public increases every day. They've gotten away with it for a long time. Maybe they will continue to, and maybe they won't. I'm thinking there's more going on than they or we know about. We'll see. End transmission. And that is from Mr. Less Visible. What a name. With that, I welcome tonight's guest. He has his own talk radio show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. His show is called A Marine's Disquisition, heard Monday through Friday on those two networks. And he is now becoming a frequent guest on Evident Footprints for good reason. And his name is Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
And thank you very much. I'm also being invited to YouTube. Several of my radio shows are now being thrown out to YouTube. And I'm getting to be pretty popular out there as the Raving Marine.
Oh, wow. Well, is it a rant, or is this you screaming your head off?
It's mostly a rant getting out there. And I don't know who the gentleman was that you read from, but he seemed to be right on point. He brought out some very salient ideas and some salient points, especially about the Federal Reserve and what's going on. I heard him a little comment about murdering the people of the world. And, you know, all of a sudden, the bells and whistles from a previous radio show that I did on the population of the world hit me in the face. And I said, wait a minute here. You know, most people out here, and by the way, Don, I want to thank BBS for allowing us to do this show, because I am one of these people out here that don't hold any reins on my horses.
That's an understatement.
But you know, we've got this long-legged MacGaddy there in Washington D.C. Meeting with the heads of state and the group of 20 nations. And the group, ladies and gentlemen, the group of 20. Now, who are the group of 20? A group of nations of global economic meet to under a global economic corporation, and they're there with the group of 8. And who are the group of 8? Specifically, they're the largest industrial countries of the world, and the United States obviously is in there, and Russia, and the United Kingdom, and China. But China hasn't been in the group of 8, nor have they been in the group of 20 until recently. And what bothers me about all of this is in what you just said, this from that gentleman, he made the comment that somebody behind this curtain over there, where Toto is tugging at the curtain, we got to get more Totos out there to find out who all these people are behind the curtains, because every time we uncover one, we've got another curtain pop up. And the G20 group is meeting in Pittsburgh, USA, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for those of you in Chicago and Yorba Linda. And that's located over there in one of the original 13 states, by the way. They're having riots in the drove from the time the sun comes up till after dark, and nobody's reporting it on mainstream media.
Yeah, ABC actually referred to one aspect of those riots as caused by anarchists, if you can believe that.
Did they show any pictures of the massive amount of demonstrators? Massive!
No, they showed just a little pocket, and then they showed about 8 lines of armored police moving in.
Yeah, 8 lines of armored police to take care of what they should say is just 40 protesters. Give me a break. Anyway, while you were reading that, it brought to my mind about the most populated countries in the world, and I remember that this what's going on in Pittsburgh includes the most populated countries in the world, and the decision to bring to the table all the countries that are needed to build a stronger, more balanced economy and reform. Listen to this quote: "We need to reform the financial system and lift the lives of the poorest," says Obama. Now, who are the lives of the poorest? He classifies China, Brazil, and India as the three countries of the 5 countries that need to be brought in. Well, the gentleman that you just read from, whoever he really is, and he puts a great piece together. I would like to have that piece with his real name on it so I can put it on my website.
Well, he only goes by less visible, as far as I know, you know, on the Internet, so.
I'm blind in one eye, I can't see out of the other one.
That's all I can tell you about him.
Anyway, somewhere in one of the little sentences you wrote about decreasing the population. Well, ladies and gentlemen, China, Brazil, and India are three of the five, of the top five most populated countries in the world. And everybody knows China and India are the most populated, with 1.33 billion in China and 1.70 billion in India. Well, you add those two figures together and you come up with a little over 3.3 billion people on this planet live in those two countries of China and India. Then you tack on Brazil, which has got 191 million, only 191 million. They're the fifth largest country in the world, with population-wise. And all of a sudden, we're up there to around 3.5 billion people on a world population of 6.7 billion. So three countries of the world, China, India, and Brazil, have right at half the population of this planet.
Yeah, seems like a little out of balance, isn't it?
Yeah, a little out of balance, ladies and gentlemen. And this will blow you away. The fourth largest populated country in the world is Indonesia.
Hmm.
With 229.9 million people, or round that off, 230 million people. 230 million living in Indonesia. And Indonesia, ladies and gentlemen, the whole country of Indonesia, you could put it in Texas and still have two-thirds of Texas left over. So when you throw all those figures together, what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is right at 4 billion people in four countries of the world. And what really blew me away is when I was looking at the statistics last week, I noticed that the only populated country in the world that is in the top 10, really the top 5, but the top 10, has got three countries in the world. But if you take away Russia and Japan, which is the bottom two, there's only one country in the top 8 most populated countries in the world that has a prosperous economy. And that's the United States of America, which ranks 4th in the population of the world, with 307 million people, 307.5 million people per population, pursuant to the census estimate of 2008. Now, I have a big time problem with the guy, not with the guy that wrote the letter that you just read from, but I have a problem with the rest of the world looking at what he has to say and then turning around and reading headlines that says that we must bring in the countries of the world to make a more stronger, more balanced global economy. And those countries are China, Brazil, and India. Those three countries are the three major workhorse countries that do the most slavery, child labor, and basic slavery labor of anywhere around the world combined.
And they've been three countries very involved in international money laundering.
There you go. Big time. And the group of eight major industrial countries, anybody in the right mind can figure those out. You got Russia, Japan, the United States, believe it or not, is in that group, and England, France, Germany, are those six countries that make up six of the eight countries that are the most industrial countries of the world. Now, obviously, China's going to be in there, and Indonesia's going to be in there because of the massive amount of goods and services that come from those two nations. I have a big time problem when you read this and you're being warned, ladies and gentlemen, you're being told that the powers to be, these secret societies, these evil people at the top, they're about to do something. Well, what are they going to do? When you look at, all you got to do is look at the population of the world. Now, you know, they want to take out the United States because we only have a population of 307 million people. Of that 307 million people, ladies and gentlemen, three-fourths of that live on the coast, i.e. coast, the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic, and the Pacific, or Hawaii. You take out all of those areas, and wham, the population of the United States drops below 100 million. Does that not surprise anybody? So, yeah, they're planning something. What are they? Some powers to be in the background, because we in America are so affluent. We built this nation up from a nation of Indians with nothing, and we've carried our society leaps and bounds. Look at history. Until the United States of America, made up of radical men like me, willing to stand up and die for liberty, not freedom, liberty, and stand up and unite and educate his brothers and sisters. Most people don't realize that the majority of the colonists were not slave owners. The majority of the colonists did not believe in slavery. The issue was not slavery of the colonists. The issue was taxation. The issue was taking away the guns of the colonists, the powder of the colonists, and telling the colonists that you've got to harbor our troops. You have a three-bedroom house. You and your wife and two kids, y'all have bedroom number one, and we're going to take the other two bedrooms. We're going to put two of our troops in each one of those bedrooms, and you're going to feed them. That's what the Revolutionary War was about. In the 1776 to 1783, ladies and gentlemen, if you have to look at the history of what was there. And here we are in the United States of America today, and we don't have tariffs protecting the laborers of America. Why aren't we putting tariffs out there on the goods that are manufactured somewhere else? When you've got a company that is run by a bunch of board of directors that say, well, the bottom line, we've got to make sure the stock brokers have got money dividends because they've invested money on us. Well, wait a minute. Kill the stock market. Let's get back to the real reason the stock market was created. It's nothing but a slot machine. Look at the gold prices. Look what's being manipulated. You think I'm all over the world here or all over the map with what I'm saying? No, it all coagulates and comes right together. The powers of to be want slavery and slave labor and children because they can manipulate them. They want to pay them $1 a day to pick bananas in Brazil, or pick bananas in Chile, or pick bananas in Venezuela, or Paraguay. $1 a day for a 12-year-old who doesn't go to school. He goes out in the morning at 7 o'clock. He comes home at night at 7 o'clock. He works for 12 hours. And God forbid he breaks anything because it comes out of his pay at full price. Even though the taskmaster may have gotten, he buys so much of it, he may only pay 10 cents for it. He'll charge the little 12-year-old kid $1. So the kid works a whole day for nothing. That's what's going on around the world, ladies and gentlemen. And you're out there buying clothes. You don't even bother to think about it. You go to Sam's Club or somewhere else and you buy a t-shirt and it says made in Paraguay or made in Colombia or made in Indonesia or made in Bangladesh or made in India.
Or in China.
Of course, China. But on t-shirts by themselves, you're going to find that right here in the United States of America, in Texas, in North Carolina, there are people that manufacture t-shirts. Yes. They don't cost $1.50. They cost $8. But it's 100% cotton, grown on American soil, weaved on American soil, produced on American soil and sold on American soil was made in America. You have to go find it. You have to look at it. You have to look out for it. It can be bought. You're going to pay 3 and 4 times the price. But you can go to Sam's and you can buy three T-shirts for $9, and Sam's is making $6 profit off of that package of three T-shirts for $9. Because there's no tariff on that, those shirts made in China or made in Paraguay or made in Bangladesh. But there's some child out there, 12, 13 years old, that's not getting an education because there's no place to educate them. And what's happening behind the scenes where Toto's pulling at the curtain? There's some idiot over there by the name of Rothschild, Rockefeller, Walker, or Schiff, and they're pulling the strings and making sure the steam gets blown in your face, hiding the fact that they're behind the slave labor, picking the fruits and vegetables. When I grew up, I saw bananas, not every day, at the grocery store. I saw bananas somewhere around, they started coming in around April. The prices got cheaper and cheaper, and by the middle of July, you could get bananas 9 cents a pound. And then around October, they were off the shelf again. But by the middle of September, bananas were back up to 20 cents a pound. 20 cents a pound. Today, you can't find bananas for 50 cents a pound. And we're getting 50 cents a pound, but the multi-billionaire that's down in Brazil or in Venezuela, he's still making billions of dollars off of child labor, and nobody in America is doing anything. Nobody's doing anything except bowing their head and saying, well, we've got to cooperate with the G20. We've got to bring the people into a global economy. Well, what is a global economy? It's going to lower your standards to the standards of those that live in Bangladesh, where farmers are selling their wives on the corner to pay the taxes for their land. And if they've got a wife that's in the mid-20s that's attractive, they might get enough money to pay their taxes for 2 years, and she sold into prostitution. But who cares? In America, all you care about is sucking up to your 7-course dinner, i.e. your hot dog and your 6-pack. And if you're wealthy, it's your bottle of champagne, your caviar, your 6-pack, and your hot dog, hamburger, or pizza. Pick and choose. Obama has been selling us out, and nobody cares. Well, this is one irate Marine, and I care. I looked at the stats. I know what the stats are. When you look at the top 10 countries in the world, Russia has got 141 million people. Japan has got 127 million people. Japan can fit inside the former Russian country of Latvia, inside the entire country of Latvia. You can't even find Latvia on a map unless you look under a magnifying glass. And the entire country of Russia is the largest landmass of any country in the world. The largest landmass. You could take the entire United States, including Alaska, and put it inside Russia, and there would be you wouldn't even touch the Western Russia, where the majority of the population lives. And yet, their population is 141 million, and of that, 110 million live in abject poverty. Of the 40 million or 39 million or 30 million that are left, the average income worker makes $200 a week. As a professional. Who were professionals? Lawyers. Doctors. Accountants. Those are the professionals. They have the most esteemed jobs. A doctor makes $250 a week. an accountant. An accountant. The one that makes sure the businesses are running properly and makes money. A good accountant makes $225 to $230 a week. On average, they make $200 a week. On average. A good doctor makes $275 a week if they're working in Moscow or St. Petersburg or Vladivostok. If you're in any one of the other countries, you're lucky to get over $200 a week. If you live in a former Russian republic like the Ukraine, where my girlfriend works as a doctor, she's making $250 a week. Now, the advantage that she has is being a doctor for one of the larger hospitals, she has to only pay for her meals and her food and clothes. But she doesn't have to pay for her electricity, and she doesn't have to pay for her two-bedroom apartment, which is a luxury for a single woman. Extreme luxury.
Now, Drew, let me interject with something here. You're describing the situation rather well as to what's going on around the world and how it's affecting us here in America. And yet we are seeing our jobs just leave the country. These corporations are using the cookie cutter technique and hiring foreigners to do the jobs at a pittance compared to what we were making. Now, one thing that's important is the amount of corruption that's tied to the real estate values and how that money was financed and hypothecated with the foreign input, all these foreign investments that occurred, and now these properties have been surreptitiously handed over to these foreign banks, and there's no value to the dollar because of what they've done. So, in essence, they've stolen not just from us, but they've stolen from those that invested into these programs, if you get my meaning.
I get your meaning, and I was going to lead up to that, and I'm glad you brought that point up, because where we're at out there, you've heard me mention the word tariffs.
Yes.
Okay? In the world of tariffs, the last president of the United States that stood on tariffs was Chester A. Arthur. And he literally made sure that the government of the United States tariffs were appropriately put forth. And he was in the middle of the longest depression of the United States history, the 20-year depression that lasted from 1876 to, and given credit all the way up to 1897, but they kind of fudged the bet and break it down to 1894.
Yeah, well,
if it hadn't been for Chester A. Arthur mandating that tariffs be raised on goods manufactured overseas and on food that was being imported into the United States that could be grown in the United States, such as oranges from Brazil, we would have big time. We would have had even a longer depression.
Well,
but here we are today, and 100 years later, 130 years later, and it's also about tariffs, but nobody's doing anything, and it's about allowing these countries, these prosperous, so-called prosperous people in other countries, to come here and take their money and invest it on our land. Well, who are these people? Some of them are just down and right average Joe Blows that work in China or work in Japan, mostly in Japan. And Arabs that work in the Middle East. Our dollar goes up against the American yen. When I was in Japan in 1973, my $1 bill got me 360 yen. Are you ready for this? Today, my $1 will get me 92 yen. If I had taken $10,000 and invested it at 10% interest per year, compounded once a year, in 1973, ladies and gentlemen, do the math. That was 46 years ago. $10,000 making 10% a year in a what we would call a CD. They really had those in Japan in 1973. $1,000 interest. After 10 years, your $10,000 would be $20,000 plus interest. Or approximately, after 10 years, your $10,000 would be approximately $25,000. But if a person would have invested the $10,000 and then converted it to yen today, just working on the $10,000 going up after 10 years to $25,000, that $25,000 of yen that I got 3,600 yen to the dollar would now be worth an astronomical $100,000 before interest.
I thought you said it was 360 yen to the dollar.
It is 360 yen to the dollar.
Oh, okay, you just said 3,600.
I meant 360 yen to the dollar.
Okay, I'm just trying to follow your math.
360 yen to the dollar. Today, you would that $10,000 in Japanese yen, remember, it's 3,600 yen. No, it's not. It's 30,600 yen. It's 36,000, excuse me. 36,000 yen. 36 is 10,000 times 360. Is that, am I right? 36,000. 36,000. 36,000 yen. Invested in 1973, today, with no interest, no nothing, yet converting that 36,000 yen today would convert to over $36,000. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't take rocket science to figure anybody that had invested $10,000 in 1973 at 10% interest compounded every year, just in the short course of 10 years, you would, with no interest after that 10 years, you would have over $72,000 today. But remember, it's making money. So you've got laborers in Japan who are making a small fortune because their yen it's gone up in value, so when they buy American dollars, they get how many dollars for 1,000 yen? Back in 1973, 1,000 yen only got them $360. But today, or 10,000 yen, today they would have a little over $9,000.
Well,
they're moving money in the middle class, and then you've got the super rich who are milking the Americans, i.e. Americans that are moving the businesses out of here. Remember what a washing machine cost in America? It still costs roughly of $600. It cost $600 10 years ago, but now instead of being made in the United States where the labor and the taxes and the materials made the cost of that washing machine cost $500, and it sold on the market for $600, which was basically a 20% profit.
Drew,
that washing machine is made in
Drew.
Mexico, and it only costs $200.
Drew, I want to make a point here. We can spend a half an hour doing the math, but the bottom line is that what's going on. Let's say you brought up tariffs, and that's a good point. The way they do it today, because these international corporations are all in bed with each other, they'll charge a tariff to bring the product in, but we'll end up paying the tariff. The company selling the product isn't paying the tariff. And to boot, the money that they have invested in this country or invested in treasury bills has been stolen. So they have a legitimate gripe. You see, it all boils down to the corruption in the central banks in New York and the corruption in the political arena.
But the American people don't see that until you get down to their pocketbooks. You see that, wait a minute, yes, you can talk about stolen treasury and stolen money all day long. They don't see that, but they see the fact that a washing machine that costs $600 today is being ripped off when it's being manufactured in Mexico. It costs $200 to have that washing machine manufactured in Mexico, brought to the United States, pay the tariff, and 20% profit on the top of it, but they're selling it for $400 more. So they're actually making $440 profit, and the American citizen is out here without a job. Right here in Arkansas, in the northwestern part of the state, 8,000 people are out of work that used to manufacture washing machines and dryers and refrigerators. 8,000 people. What are they doing, ladies and gentlemen? Most of them are sitting around on their front porch praying that the watermelons will come in and the groceries that they buy don't go up anymore. A loaf of bread that cost most Americans a short 10 years ago less than 75 cents is now up to $2.75. Theft. It's theft of not just the physical money that you can see, it's theft of your performance in your life.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I brought up this issue about tariffs, is that we pay for all of this. Now,
correct. Paying for it.
Look at the bailout, and then look at the takeover. First of all, they gave how many billion dollars to the three automotive manufacturers, and then they take over GM.
Well, wait a minute, hold it. They do that, and then those manufacturing plants with how many billions, they don't take that money and invest it in the United States. They took it to Brazil to build a new plant, a new 10,000 worker plant in Brazil.
Yeah, and the people are listening to what the mainstream media is saying about it, if they say anything. And all they're given is lies, and they just sit back and say, well, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we got to do something. What is the union doing? You know,
union can't do anything. They're bought out. They are part of the theft.
Well, I know that. I'm being, you know, rhetorical here, Drew.
Well, I'm just letting you know. Yeah. It sounded like you asked a question. I'm saying the union bosses are part of it.
I'm quoting the average individual out there. You know, what is
Understand.
The union doing? Why isn't the union doing anything for us? You know, all the unions ever did was take money and pad their own pockets, and now they're being run by the politicians as they always were. But now the union has a voice because of their ties to organized crime, and all of this is organized crime. So you've got all these different factions of organized crime warring against each other. That's it in essence. There's no legal system going on. There's no common law system going on in this country. This is outright theft, outright corruption. That's all it is. Pure and simple. There's no constitutional remedy until these people get put behind bars. Or dealt with like those that commit treason.
That's I got a pop-up here coming from Germany saying that, Drew, make the point that you can take the country of India and put that entire country in Brazil, or you can take Brazil or the India and take that country and put it in Australia, or you can take Australia and put it in the United States, and it would cover 85% of the United States, excluding Alaska.
Well, you can take all the people of the whole world and fit them inside Australia.
Exactly, and give them 1 acre of land to feed themselves on. I brought that on my show many times. And yet, we're being told that the planet is getting warm because we're creating carbon monoxide. when one volcano goes off in any one given day, anywhere on this planet, one volcano blast puts out more carbon monoxide than the entire Industrial Revolution has created in the last 150 years.
Yeah, well, it's all propaganda. Again, it's all manipulation to take over, and you know, the UN is at every corner. And I want to make a point about these recent speeches. You know, Gaddafi was on the air yesterday giving a speech in his Parliament Funkadelic outfit, as I call it, and or at least he looked like he was getting ready to go on stage with them. And demanding $7.7 trillion. This is money that we're supposed to give Africa for what? And now, you know, they've skipped over the millions and the billions. They're just going straight for the throat, going for the trillions. And evidently, Obama promised this, thinking that he was going to use his computer hackers to hack into the prosperity accounts. And as a result of having done that, attempting and coming up empty-handed now, these countries that were promised these bribes are left empty-handed, and so is Obama. In fact, you know, things are in pretty dire straits. You've got the World Court and the Supreme Court arguing as to which one is more corrupt than the other. literally, this is what's going on. And yeah, people don't understand this, but this is the issue. This is the issue. There is no skirting around it, you see? Whether they understand it or not, that is the issue. The multiplicity of massive theft around the planet. And here the rest of the world is on a gold-backed currency agreement, and we still are not, because they prefer their derivative and hedge fund accounts. And, Drew, we've got a caller on the line here. Would you like to take a call?
If Hello? We do, we'll take the call.
Okay. We have Michael from New York on the line. Hello?
Hey, hello, Dan, Drew.
Oh, this sounds like Michael Anthony.
Hey, good morning, Don. Hi, Drew. Yes, Don. Join the show, guys. You know, and I just wanted to call in and give you guys some information that I learned today.
Sure, go ahead.
It's regarding Obama with the school kids on opening day of public government school recently. And we know that Obama was making a speech to the kids. Well, I learned today that in a town, school system, Valhalla, just south of Albany, New York, the teachers gave the kids posters of Obama and told them to go home and hang them in their rooms.
Now, were they going to be graded on whether or not they did this?
Couldn't tell you if they were going to be graded, but they clearly were enticing the kids to pretty much idolize Obama. And the person that I was talking to was her sister, and her son attends that school system there. And when he came home with the poster, the boy's mom said, "We're not going to hang that in this house," and she ripped it up and threw it out. Her son broke down in tears and crying and wailing pretty much all night long.
All that over a picture of the long-legged Mac Daddy. Drew, you want to comment on that?
Hey, I got it on my News and Views, a complete picture of the whole thing, of a list of children that are being advised that the long-legged Mac Daddy is the savior, and for them to basically get out on their hands and knees and pray to this guy. But they didn't say pray. This is more like this is going to be the savior and the man that you need to worship to save America for you, so you can live in peace with your freedoms down the road. I've seen that, and it's sickening.
Yes, it is, guys. It's, you know, and to see that this this little kid who I think was only approximately around 10 years old was breaking down crying, goes to show that they're really getting to brainwash these kids into believing that Obama is the savior. They're going to be their lord and master, and all good things will flow from Obama. I mean, this kid was crying and crying. What could it mean except that this school system is truly brainwashing our young kids into believing their communist lies?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Drew, anything more you want to say about that topic?
I'll tell you this much. You know, it makes you want to just turn around and throw up. And I have a cartoon character that barfs, but I don't like listening to it very much because I want to barf when I hear it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
you know,
definitely, guys. It's really disgusting and very scary as well. Now, this particular mom is going to now take her son out of the school system and homeschool.
Good for her.
That's right. That's the good news.
And there's a lot more people out there that are waking up to taking their children out of schools, Michael. And I mean, it's across America. There are people from one end of this country to the other end of this country, and in all flyover states, that have had enough. And they're looking at how to get their children into learning methods at home. There are even block parties in rural cities here in the United States, right here in Arkansas on the Missouri border. One school system up there, two school boards had to unite together to bring two school board systems from first grade to 12th. Together so they would have enough children to go to the public school, because three times as many kids that were in the school 2 years ago are now being homeschooled by the farmers and even the people that live in the community cities, because the kids are not getting educated in the public school, and the teachers were understaffed. The school board systems of those two communities barely had enough school teachers to raise a complement to have enough teachers for the first through the sixth grade and the seventh through the tenth grade, with the 11th and 12th grade set off to themselves. And it's amazing that the rest of the United States, even right here in Little Rock, they don't even print it. You have to read stories from about the football players in that small community doing heroic acts, or maybe getting killed on a farm tractor, when you see that they don't have enough men to field a football team because there's so many kids out being homeschooled. You know?
Isn't that great to hear that? More and more, I just hope more and more parents continue to do that, so the public government school system, gentlemen, just folds and collapses in on itself, and also will eliminate the financial burden that it places on all the property owners.
Yeah, well, there's another issue again. They're stealing that money too, Michael, and putting that into their derivatives and hedge funds, and the schools are barely running on any kind of budget at all. And I get accounts from teachers all the time telling me that their departments, which are either on grants or on a strict budget, do not have the money because they're withholding it. They're not paying bills to local businesses from whom they buy food or drinks or transportation or any kind of goods that are used in the classroom. And they're expecting the teachers to pay for this out of their pockets.
Well, wait a minute. They got enough money to send the principal, the vice principal, and the heads of staff of the school board to junket trips to Washington, D.C. or to Las Vegas, Nevada for a conference. They got money for that, but they don't have money to pay the bills.
Yeah. Well, it's the same old thing. And the trips to Washington, D.C., are usually now to do with Acorn. You know, we've had Acorn prowling around my community again today, you know, and we're just telling people, send them on their way. They have no business.
They had the gall to knock on my door, and they were standing on my steps, not on my steps, but on my porch. And I said, "Do you not see that sign over there? It says, 'No trespassing. This is private property.'" Well, we're here from Acorn, trying to, get petitions together to sue these people that are illegally taping, conversations. And I looked at the guy and said, "Dude, if it was my way, I would have every one of those people on that tape put in front of a firing squad or tarred and feathered and placed on the street. Now, you can get off my property, but don't ever come back here and walk on my front doorstep without following the rules that's on that sign. And that sign's got a buzzer right next to it. You want me, you push on it. You don't come up and knock on my door."
That's right.
Yeah. That's the way you got to handle it.
Absolutely.
I'm an irate self-made. I mean, I'm in their face. I've got FBI officers that come here, and they stop 12 feet from my front door, and they push the buzzer. And then sometimes they'll push it two or three times, and they'll say, "Well, I guess he's not here." Well, you know, if I don't want to talk to him, I'm not here.
Don't give away all your secrets.
Oh, they know it. They know I'm inside the building. They just don't, you know. I've had them walk around the back and knock on my door, on my window, while I'm sitting here doing something. And I know they're out there. I just pretend that I don't hear them. When they finally get me to look at them, that's when I'll open the window and I'll say, "Yeah, what you need?" I already know who they are.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you another thing, Michael. I'm tired of all these lies that are out there being purported on the American people on the internet. Like, there's one out there that's coming out today that's being mass produced, and people are so stupid they won't bother to educate themselves and go back and look. Congress doesn't pay Social Security tax. Make this the biggest issue of the 2010 election. Well, that's a bunch of horse manure. I looked and I found that every congressman gets a paycheck from the Treasury Department, and every one of them are paying into the Social Security system. Every one of them. Now, what happened back in the 80s under Ronald Reagan, he made it, he brought the reality of the world down to where these congressmen that go in and serve for 6 years and draw out a retirement, they draw a retirement, but nothing like they did before Ronald Reagan went in the office.
Well, when they retire, our congressmen are all very wealthy, regardless of how many terms they serve. They all have an incredible retirement pension that truly exceeds.
Hey, I got news for you. There isn't an American in the United States of America that wouldn't die for the retirement that Congress and the Senate and the Supreme Court justices get.
Absolutely right.
As well, and this nation was formed. There was no retirement. George Washington didn't get a retirement. Andrew Jackson didn't get a retirement. Davy Crockett didn't get a retirement. I mean, there's kids out there today, they don't even know that Davy Crockett served for 6 years in the United States Congress. Two-year terms, he was voted out for 2 years, he came back for 2 years, and then he headed off to Texas, okay, on a hunting trip.
That's right. And not only didn't have retirement packages, they didn't even have much of a salary as well. There wasn't supposed to be money associated with
it. It was only enough money to pay for your travel and back and forth to D.C., not every month, but one time.
That's
travel
right.
To come to Washington, serve your do your due diligence and your duty, and then go home.
And go home and make a living, earn money through the enterprises that you have.
Amen. That's exactly right. And nobody, it wasn't supposed to be a political career forever.
Well, let's not
even John Adams, even John Quincy Adams, who was a president of the United States, became a congressman and fought that issue all the way to 1844. And until he died, the state of Texas was not coming into the Union because John Quincy Adams knew that Texas was a foreign country with its own navy, its own army, its own police force, its own state government, its own checks and balances, and the Constitution specifically did not make room, and the original founding fathers made it very clear that the only other nations that could be accepted into the United States in perpetuity would be Canada and the territories of Canada as their brothers and in arms against the United Kingdom and France. That's the
wow.
real truth.
Wow.
But here we are, within weeks of John Quincy Adams dying and his body laying in the tundra in Washington, D.C., the congressman from New York, Ohio, and Illinois put propositions up to bring Texas into a state. It took another 2 years, 1846, Texas becomes a state, 17 months after John Quincy Adams dies.
Well, Drew, there's also an issue here of not just their pensions, but these guys are getting, and I've heard amounts up to $2 million in fringe benefits and
yes.
freebies that they're getting, including money they receive from lobbyists. For the
President of the United States, after serving, the President of the United States retires on $167,000 a year, has bodyguard service totaling the number of 8 men per shift, three times a day, that's 24 men working 5 days on, and then there's another group of men that come in. What it actually works out to be, there's 48 men, Secret Service, on Bill Clinton right now, on our tax dollar, being paid. They get per diem, they get their travel paid, they get their rooms paid for, they get their meals paid for. And Bill Clinton gets $167,000 his retirement money and $350,000 office expenses and $150,000 in other expenses that he needs, plus $250,000 for rental of an office.
And his fingers are still in the kitty.
I'm still trying to find a way to get a pair of pliers to cut them off.
Well, yeah, you'd have to go for Hillary on that one, probably. Hillary's doing it as much as he is.
Well, see, we've got all of these lies out there. We can't, as patriots, as informationalists, Michael, we can't get out. We cannot continue putting out the truth that all of these millions of people that woke up last Saturday when they marched in Washington, D.C. on the 12th, those people are looking for truth, and here we are, those of us that's been in the fight since 1992, many of us, like D.B. Kidd, for instance, D.B. Kidd, God bless the informational network for D.B. Kidd. Don Harkin, God bless Don Harkin. He had the publication, the Idaho Observer, and between him and D.B. Kidd, they are two of the mainstays out there, putting out the truth for the longest period of time, and I've got to really pray for D.B. Kidd because she's losing her husband for the same thing that Don Harkin's died on, and she knows the truth. She knows that Congress pays on Social Security. She knows that the executive order of John Kennedy, number 1110, had nothing to do with doing away with the Federal Reserve. But yes, John F. Kennedy wanted to bring in real money and real gold, but he didn't want to get rid of the Federal Reserve. He wanted to bring in a competitor to the Federal Reserve and bring in silver-backed coins and dollars so the United States could break away instead of having to pay interest to the Federal Reserve to print money so the United States could pay bills.
Well, we had that originally. I mean, up until December of 1913.
December the 24th of 1913, when three senators and six congressmen shoved it down our throats and got it through the Congress and the United States Senate, all on the back of lies.
Yeah, and while the rest of Congress was on vacation.
Oh, they were playing Christmas, the false Christmas, and the enjoying their the platitudes of their mistresses.
Yeah. Well, folks, we got to end here shortly. Michael, any more comments or question for Drew before you say goodnight?
Gentlemen, real quick, it's a pleasure to hear you guys, and let me just tell you how it works out when our government gets involved with everything and tries to take control. In 1977, under Commie Carter, when they created the Department of Energy, which was supposedly to lessen our dependence on foreign oil, and look where it got us now about 30 years later. Now that department takes $24.2 billion a year to operate, has 16,000 federal employees, 100,000 contractors, all milking the U.S. taxpayer. And look at the job it's done at keeping us independent from foreign oil. And now they want to take the control over banks and healthcare and the auto industry and everything else. We can already now get a good idea of the kind of hole they're going to dig further deeper for all of us and the future generations of this country.
Yeah. Amen, Michael. And I got one highlight. We had a man 100 years ago that could have taken us and put us on the road to free energy out of the air, and everything would have run without any power lines addressing the sky, without worrying about ice storms, without having to worry about tornadoes
or
hurricanes, and his name was Nikola Tesla. And we could today, the technology there is, Michael, it's there for us to create our own power within our home. It's there. We've got to harness it. We've got to get back and take this nation back and find out what those patents are that were there and that knowledge. Because as James Madison saw the facts 200 years ago, James Madison, the President of the United States, 200 years ago said, history records that the money changers have used every form of abuse, intrigue, deceit, and violent means possible to maintain their control over the governments of the people by controlling the money that it issues.
Absolutely. Let me just say real quick, guys. Here's the example of Tesla's technology with the free energy. It's magnets and coils in motion. Just look at that flashlight that you shake, and you get some power. You get some electricity. A magnet with coils in motion. That's one of his greatest inventions out of dozens of them. But that's one of them that we can pursue right away, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, that sucker's on the market for $8.
Yes, sir. All we have to do is make them bigger to get more electricity. That's all we need.
Why don't you make it so big to where you can run a pedal a bicycle, and you can pedal a bicycle. I got news for you. Make it big enough to where you can stand on a bicycle, but put you a wind mast on it, and wham, you're creating power. And if you've got a fan that you're creating power on, the fan blows the air, and the air the air is sucked back in. You're right on, Mike. God bless you, man.
Well, listen, I got to say, Michael, I got to say goodnight to you. I know you're coming on the show next week, so I look forward to your visit. Thanks for calling in. Drew, we got to say goodnight here.
I would be more than happy to say goodnight, and I would like for the listening audience to stand up and pray that something is done about the 50,000 Muslims that are moving on Washington, D.C., because Obama is allowing these 50,000 Muslims to come to Washington, D.C., and he's going to talk to them.
Yeah, it's real important that they come here.
Now, 2 million of Americans came to Washington, D.C., and what did Obama do? He went to Montana.
Minnesota.
Talk.
Yeah.
Minnesota, to talk to some school children that are not voters, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, Drew,
give
your website and your email address, and then we got to call it a night.
You can Google me, Drew Malone Reigns the Third, and you can find me all over the place. You can go to my website, www.amd.elequity.com. That's Alpha Michael Delta dot Echo Lima Echo Quebec Ulysses India Tango Yankee .com. And you can find me just about anywhere on any search engine. Just type in Drew Malone Reigns, and you will find me in the first 50 slots of 2 million.
All right, thank you. And they will find you here again on Evident Footprints on the 1st of October, next Thursday. So,
if Marianne will let me come back.
All right. Thanks for being on the show tonight. God bless you, Drew, and thanks for the work you're doing. Want to give a shout out to all your military buddies around the world, and let them know that we're with them. We're standing beside them.
In every climb, in every place, ladies and gentlemen, and every lady that's a Marine, and every mud Marine out there, in every climb, in every place, Semper Fi.
Okay. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and on Windtalkers Radio Network, as well as BlogTalkRadio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.